What's up, guys? Kevin Allen here, aka The Geek from DFS Army. It is NFL Week 2. DraftKings salaries are out, and we're going to take a look at DraftKings, take a look at some of the salaries, talk a little bit about what happened in Week 1, and put together some lineups, some top plays here for DraftKings NFL Week 2. Now, as always, before I like to get into the actual breakdown on DraftKings, I want to talk a little bit about the games that are coming up for NFL Week 2 and talk a little bit about what we saw in Week 1, what we learned from a lot of these teams. So let's run through it here. First off, first game of the week, we've got a 40-point total game, Packers at the Falcons. And while this low total normally doesn't interest me, Packers might have lost Aaron Jones for at least a week or two or some period of time. We'll see. If Aaron Jones is out, A.J. Dillon instantly becomes probably the lock button all-in play at running back on the slate. Flip side from the Falcons, we saw really you don't want to mess with their pass catchers at all. We saw great usage from both Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier last week. I think that's going to continue. This team's going to be just run heavy and all the running backs will do well. So we'll keep an eye on those guys. Josh Allen not looking that great on Monday night against the Jets. Now they're home against the Raiders in a revenge spot. You go right back to the Bills offense here, but they did not look great against the Jets, but the Jets defense is really good. You know what's not really good? The Raiders defense. So Bills offense definitely in play here with that 27.75-point total. Ravens at the Bengals. Neither one of these teams had a great offensive performance in Week 1. It's tough to trust anything going on here, but you know, maybe that's an interesting tournament spot, right? Lamar didn't do great. Burrow was absolutely putrid last week. Tough to trust. So we'll see what we see about that game. That's a little mysterious. We've got the Seahawks at the Lions for the third game. Seahawks have pretty good wide receiver coverage. Amon-Ra St. Brown smashed in Week 1. So DK Metcalf looking real good. I like some of the Seahawks offensive pieces in this spot. 47-point total is one of the higher ones on the slate. So we're definitely, and keep in mind, last year, this game, Seahawks-Lions, produced one of the greatest game stack scenarios that we've ever seen. So definitely game stacking that one up. Colts at the Texans. Low total, but Anthony Richardson looked legit in Week 1. So I'm interested in Richardson here. Just for the legs and the running. Not great, but interested. And we get to the game of the week here. Chiefs at the Jaguars. This is the game of the week. This is the game to load up on. If you did nothing else this week but just load it up on Chiefs-Jaguars, I think that's a really acceptable approach. Chiefs offense is really hard to stack, hard to know who they're going to. They just score, but you know they do it a lot of different ways. So I don't actually enjoy stacking Mahomes at all when Kelsey's not on the team. I think it's probably better just maybe to run him naked. We got to think about that. But I think Trevor Lawrence will be featured prominently, as will all Jaguars pieces, in this week's build, if I have anything to say about it, and I do, because I get to do the build. Bears at the Bucks. Not much to like there at all. 41.5-point total. It's gross. Chargers at the Titans. You know, Chargers offense, once again, I told you last week, as much as Herbert looked like the play of the week, it gave me a little bit of the willies. He's tough to stack. Not my favorite QB to play in tournaments. Just hasn't been a tournament winner in a while, so we'll see. We'll see what we do there. Do you go back to Daniel Jones and the Giants here in a much better spot, or will Cardinals defense be the chalk of the week? Going to be highly owned, that's for sure. I don't know about chalk of the week, but they might be the pay down option at defense this week. But I think actually the Giants offense probably will look better. You know, going up against Dallas is tough for any team. 49ers at the Rams. 49ers should smash here. We know the usual suspects over there. Brandon Ayuk had an incredible game. And he looks like a locked-in WR1. So I think we're going to go back to Brandon Ayuk. Christian McCaffrey did his thing. Probably not super. Oh, actually, for LA, Puka Nacua, 15 targets. We're going right back to Puka. And I forgot to mention, on the Ravens, for all of the badness that they looked, Zay Flowers is the real deal, and he will be an exciting start almost every week. I think Zay Flowers will be a 6,500-type player here within the next couple of weeks on DraftKings. Jets disaster. really, really would be surprised if they scored in this game at all. Dallas defense, you know, Jets losing Aaron Rodgers was brutal. Unfortunately, we predicted it on the showdown breakdown, and then it happened. Sick over it. But Dallas defense, pretty much lock button this week. You know, you give Zach Wilson a week to prepare, and it just gets worse. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. And then the last game, Washington at the Broncos, 39. This is so gross. This is just an ignore, right? So we could ignore this game. Although it was interesting to note that for all the Antonio Gibson hype, and I told you guys in the offseason, do not listen to that. Gibson was terrible in that game, and it looks like Brian Robinson will be the lead back. So, you know, we'll see about that. Interesting split with the Broncos backfield where all the guys got run last week. So Broncos backfield situation not settled. And quite honestly, a lot of what I was looking for in week one is just usage and understanding how the teams were going to use these players, especially the running backs, right? And so we got a lot of clarity there, and that's going to help us build, understand high floors going forward and all that good stuff. Now, before we get into the week two breakdown, reminder, if you enjoy this content, hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. We've got non-stop DFS action going here on the DFS Army YouTube channel. Incredible results last week. We had multiple tournament takedowns. We showed a lot of that in our showdown breakdown. We had showdown winners for all three of the showdowns. This week, we got to get some main slate takedowns going, guys. So make sure to stick around, and let's put a lineup together over here. So let's take a look at the QB position for NFL week one. And it starts at the top with Pat Mahomes. And yeah, highest total of the slate. Mahomes is a great play. Did he have a great game week one? No. I'll like Mahomes a little bit more when he gets his safety blanket, Travis Kelce, back. So let's see the health of Travis Kelce here. That'll probably determine a lot of how much I want to play Mahomes. I still like him, but it's just hard to stack him with any of those pass catches. They're all so inconsistent. The inconsistencies was very consistent. They were, you know, Sky Moore, absolutely horrible, dropping passes. Kadarius Toney, even horribler, dropping passes. So they just did not have much going on. Rashee Rice just had a couple snaps, did a little bit. You can't trust him to keep doing that. Martez Valdes-Scantling seemed like the most stable. I don't like it at all. Josh Allen had a terrible game against the Jets. Probably could bounce back here against the Raiders. It's fine. Lamar, another guy I was very happy that we got off of in week one. I know a lot of you guys in the comments were ripping me for that. And listen, that's fine. I don't mind it. When you comment that this guy is stupid and why wouldn't you play Lamar in week one and all of that, I don't mind it because I value your opinions. I love when you comment in the video. So let me know who your favorite QB is of this week, or if you think I'm on the wrong guys, but it was nice to avoid this terrible score in a non-competitive game, because Lamar Jackson doesn't do well in non-competitive games. And guess what? If this game is competitive, so we're going to switch that up this week. If this is a competitive game, this is more of a game stack scenario for me. If Joe Burrow can bounce back, then this game can blow up at low ownership. Everybody's going to have remembered the horrible game we got from Lamar week one. So this game has blow up potential for sure. Lamar with Zay Flowers, bring back with Ja'Marr Chase, something along those lines is how I would be looking to play this game. Like, boom, Lamar, Flowers, Ja'Marr Chase. Triple stack. Now, another team that looked terrible week one were the Chicago offense. I mean, this was disgusting. Justin Fields looked like the version we saw at the beginning of last year, not at the late part of last year. Really interestingly, did not have a great connection with DJ Moore. Instead, was going to Darnell Mooney quite a bit. I still think you got to go back to Justin Fields, but certainly, you know, there's cause for concern. But I just, you know, a lot of these guys take a couple of weeks just to knock the rust off, get their head back in the game. We might see that with Fields, or maybe he just sucks forever. The Tampa side, I'm definitely not super interested in that offense. Although, again, individually, Evans and Godwin have a good matchup, as does Rashad White. Are we going to do it? Probably. But not the best. Herbert, good spot against the Titans. But again, I talked about Herbert a little bit. Tough, always tough to stack him. I did see maybe some injury. If we got a little bit of injury clarity on that team, it might help. And as a matter of fact, It does look like Austin Eckler might be hurt, which I would imagine might help Herbert and his potential if that were to be the case. So I'm going to monitor that situation. Austin Eckler did not finish the game this past week, and we'll see if he plays. If he doesn't play, of course, Kelly will be a very interesting play as well. Joe Burrow, I already talked about him. I'd rather probably be on the Lamar side of that game, but not necessarily. Burrow just didn't look himself. He looked terrible, but chalk it up. Maybe he'll look better week two. Like, we don't know. All right, my favorite play on the slate, and the guy I'm dropping into this lineup is Trevor Lawrence. And I just love the way Lawrence looked in week one. He looks in midseason form to me. 75% of his passes were completed, 103.8 passer rating. He's in midseason form. I love the connection with him and Ridley. He's very easy to stack. You take Ridley and either Zay Jones or Evan Ingram, or even just single stack. You don't need to double stack here, even just a single stack or including Travis Etienne. So there's a lot of ways to build around Trevor Lawrence this week. And I do want to start with him, and I'm going to plug in his wide receiver, Calvin Ridley, into this start. Now, with that being said, I want to continue on through the QB position. Just talk about some spots that I like. Dak Prescott, no. Anthony Richardson, yeah, I think he's playable here. 6,300, the price came up a little bit. He put up a 21. He had a pretty good passing day. He rushed for a touchdown. I think there's more rushing potential here. And if he could keep doing this kind of thing with the pass, I think he's going to be smashing. I'm surprised he didn't actually score even better considering these kind of numbers. It's a worse defense, Houston, than what he played against last week. So everything here tells me play some Richardson, but also play some Houston defense. Let's be sneaky about that, though. Keep it to ourselves. All right. Other spots. Jared Goff absolutely smashed against Seattle last year. He's interesting. Not going to be a top play for me, but interesting and in the mix. Daniel Jones, I'm going back to it. That's right. I'm going back to it. Just because you look like shit against Dallas doesn't mean you're going to look like shit against other teams, right? So no one's going to want to play Daniel Jones. Danny Dime a dozen. Going back to that this week in some tournaments, but not for this, sort of, let's call it like a core build that we do here. Geno, same deal as Goff, smashed in that situation last year. As far as other plays on the slate, I don't think we're going to find too many down here. So that's about it. After that, I am probably not touching any of these guys. And one thing I noticed in looking over this week's Millie Maker winner and just like studying some lineups was, especially if you're making a lot of lineups, it does help if you lock in on a quarterback for a high percentage of your lineups, especially if that's the best quarterback of the slate. So, there was somebody that locked in pretty heavy on Tua and made a ton of money because Tua was super low owned and he was such a better play than everybody else last week. So, keep it in mind. If you can be right about it, it does help to go heavy. So we don't need a million quarterbacks in our player pool. All right, jumping over to the running back position. Let's go through it. Look at some of these salaries, see who pops, talk about what happened with some of these guys last week. And Christian McCaffrey had a great week, got a ton of volume, didn't even need a lot of target volume, 28.9 fantasy points. Now, a lot of you guys said, Kevin, you're stupid. Why aren't you recommending Christian McCaffrey? Why aren't you putting him in your lineup? And it's exactly this reason. I literally said, when you're 9K on DraftKings, you got to score 36 fantasy points to help you at least hold pace in a tournament, and you got to score 40 to help you win a tournament. This 28.9 did not lead to a tournament win for the person that rostered McCaffrey last week. And that's why, while always a very good cash pay-up option, because the floor is so high, he's so expensive that actually McCaffrey is not generally going to be somebody that I want to play in a large field tournament. He just needs to put up 40. And I don't think he's going to this week or any week. Catch me outside. How about that? Sorry. Hit me up with the hate in the comments section. I love your comments. You stupid geek. You don't play Christian McCaffrey, put up 29. Yeah, and he didn't help you win a tournament. Sorry. Saquon Barkley. By the way, that score is probably okay for small tournaments and cash games. It's good for cash games. It's okay for small tournaments. The issue comes up when you're trying to win a large field tournament. Saquon Barkley at Arizona. You can go back to Saquon. But, you know, games like this will happen. The nines, that's going to happen with Saquon when the Giants offense is inept. But I don't think that's what we're setting up for here. The problem is 8K, not super interested there. Bijan Robinson looked great in his debut. Targets, look at the targets. Like, they're throwing to him. He's running. The only problem I had with Bijan was they brought in Algier on the goal line a couple times. I think that was just variance and luck. But Bijan is kind of in a bit of a timeshare in a heavy run environment. So, you know, buyer beware. Tony Pollard, 7,500. Dallas is going to smash the Jets here in this game. Jets defense is pretty good, but it's not good enough to really probably slow down Pollard all that much. It is interesting to note that Pollard's usage remains very consistent. Now, again, that was a blowout, so they might have pulled him a little early, but he's sitting at 16 touches, and that's where I expect him to be most of the season. He's an explosive player, but I don't expect to see 25 touches or opportunities for Pollard. The Giants, the Dallas just doesn't do that, or they haven't done it, and I don't expect them to. Derrick Henry, really, really rough last week. You know, played fewer snaps than Tajay Spears. You know, buyer beware here. This is a good matchup, but I'm a little concerned about Derrick Henry right now and paying that kind of price. Josh Jacobs, not a good matchup at Buffalo. This is a GPP only type situation for sure. Travis Etienne, I love here. So Travis Etienne finally gets the targets. 5 for 5, you know, didn't do a whole lot in terms of scoring with the targets. He did better on the ground, scored the touchdown, did his thing, got you a solid score. I think go right back to him this week at 7K, 7, 14, 21, 28. He needs to keep you on pace. He did not get that. He didn't like help you win a tournament even this past week, but this is a great environment to target this game. So yeah, ETN is absolutely in the mix, although so will the other running backs, including the KC running back will be in the mix as well. Joe Mixon, what a disappointment. I'm going to take a mea culpa right now on Joe Mixon. I thought that, now, again, that was a blowout. It was a terrible game, and who knows? And the usage was kind of there, some targets, but he was definitely coming out of the game a little bit more than I wanted to see. So I think Mixon is going to be a volatile option all year, and we just have to be aware of it. He's not a safe floor guy, and he's probably priced a little too high for the kind of low floor that he brings right now. I'd rather see Mixon probably down closer to 6K or 5,900 than even in this mid 6K range. Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, could pop off, but definitely did not get much volume and looks to be in sort of a high variance role. So I'm going to be buyer beware on that guy too, right? James Conner, you know, yeah, still churning volume. This could be an okay spot for him. So I don't think you take him out of your player pool, but he's not who I want to plug in. Man, we're going and going. I haven't plugged anybody in yet. We're getting there. You know, James Cook, good targets. Could bounce back. He definitely seems to have the lead back role for Buffalo, and I think that is valuable at 6,100. Dalvin Cook, no. AJ Dillon is our first spot, and he's going to be a lock button play for me if Aaron Jones is out. The Packers are going to be run heavy. The Falcons are going to be run heavy. This game just screams good for the running back. And you give me AJ Dillon with no competition for touches. This is a lock button all in core play. I need a graphic for this. Like boom, 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 lock button, all in core play. But that's what that is for week two. So let's see how that goes. But yes, lock it in, Dylan. Hall, no. Montgomery did well. Can't take him out of our mix, but, you know, he is still splitting with Jahmyr Gibbs. He had 21 carries, no targets, but lots of carries, lots of yardage, got the touchdown. I don't understand how he only got, no targets. So the, you know, the total score is really rough in that sense. He's probably in the mix, but he needs to do pretty much what Jamal Williams would do last year, which was like score 3 touchdowns in a game to be relevant. I probably use him. Not sure where I'd want to use him. Kenny Walker at Detroit, I like more. Let's take a look at his usage. Yeah, I like it. There were targets, there were carries. He did everything. Let's take a look at Jack at Chardonnay. I did Charbonnet. I did see that. Yeah, DJ Dallas mixed in, but Charbonnet, not much comp. So I like that. Let's see what DJ Dallas did. I know I saw him in the game a little bit. Yeah, just a couple carries, one target. So this does appear to be Walker's backfield, and that is something I like. Give me Kenny Walker in this high-octane environment. So we got two running backs. We got a QB wide receiver stack. Let's just run through the rest of the running backs, see if anybody else pops. Isaiah Pacheco, sure, why not? Cam Akers, you know, we got a lot of carries. I'll give him that. We got a lot of carries, but this is a tough matchup. I'm out. Damian Fierce-Pierce did not get as much volume as I would be hoping for. Gave up some volume to Singletary and other guys. I want to look at the snap counts, but that was concerning for me. Definitely not exciting. Javonte Williams, same deal. He got a lot of looks. He got a lot of opportunities, but he also gave way quite a bit to P. Ryan. Let's see how many. Yeah, 8 carries, 4 targets. It was way too close of a mix for comfort. I don't feel comfortable with either guy because they're eating into each other in a way that's uncomfortable. You know, I was pushing Rashad White. And again, I do my mea culpas. I was pushing Rashad White last week. I thought he was in a great spot. He got a ton of volume. Got a lot of carries. Now I'm going to say did not look good. Did not look good in those carries. Did not get a lot of yards. In what appears to what should have been a plus matchup at Minnesota, got a couple targets. It's not that other running backs came out and did a lot of damage. It's just that White didn't do much. So that's a concern. Can we go back to him this week? I say yes, but with caution, right? Like he didn't do much with his volume, but he got the volume. This is a much, much better matchup though. Chicago was absolutely torched by the running backs for the Packers last week. We can go back to it. So I'm gonna kind of keep him here in the flex. It's just a little maybe, right? All right, let's jump over to defense here. I like going to defense before I kind of finish my positions, just so I know how much average remaining salary we're gonna have left. So we're gonna go defense, tight end, and then finish it up at wide receiver. Right. So there are two defenses that I've identified this week as sort of top spots. The first one is the cheap one, and I'm calling them the cheapest viable defense. And that for me are the Cardinals. Now, primarily just because of how bad the Giants offense looked. Now, again, the Giants were up against Dallas and they're a good defensive team. And they just no team looks that bad 2 weeks in a row. There's no way. Daboll's a good coach. They'll get it figured out. But Cardinals defense did not look bad either. 6 sacks. I mean, they're rushing the passer. You got to give them some credit. Now, of course, again, they were up against Sam Howell, not a particularly great offense in Washington, but still, you got to credit these guys. They put up a monster score and they're super cheap, but that is not going to be our lock button. That's our cheapest defense. And normally on this show, I only give you the cheapest viable, but there's a couple of other defenses that need to be mentioned, right? So first up, is going to be, where's Denver? Yeah, they're all priced up pretty high. Let me see if there's any other lower cost defenses. I guess the Colts here at Houston at 3,400. Again, we're always targeting young QBs. The Houston, where are the Texans here? Defense, where are they? Oh, there they are, 3,600. So a little priced up Texans defense, but they're interesting. But the top defense overall for this week, and I'm gonna plug them in. I'm paying an expensive defense on the first look, and that's gonna be Cowboys against my beloved New York Jets. Zach Milfson, he is not good under pressure. It's that simple. They destroyed the Giants. We can get a 30 burger, a 40 burger. You got to pay up. So paying up for defense is generally stupid, but here we are, being stupid. At me. All right, continuing on, tight end position. Actually, before we talk tight end, I just want to mention, again, if you aren't subscribed at DFS Army, we had an incredible week for our subscribers. We've got an amazing community, Discord community, so make sure to check out the link in the description, even just to join the Discord. There's a free Discord component as well. And of course, you get the tools, the optimizer, the projections, all the great stuff that helps our players smash. And the biggest difference between DFS Army and other sites is we really try to teach how to use the tools. We have live streams going nonstop, teaching how to use the Domination Station optimizer, how to build cash lines, all those kind of things. So if you really want to get better at DFS, I mean, we got Adam Burns, who wrote the book on DFS, in our chat, answering questions as well. So if you want to check that out, make sure to get signed up at DFS Army. My code GEEK gets you 10% off any of the subs. NFL only, I think, is 34 after the discount. And you could get VIP that covers everything. After the 10% off, it's something like $70. So make sure you check that out. Link in the description below. All right. Tight end position. Will Kelce come back this week? If he does, I'm certainly very interested. No real news. I kind of think he will play. I kind of thought he had a chance of playing last week. But if he plays, of course, he's a smash spot. That's that simple. Mark Andrews. Also, I mean, 6,300, the Q tag, I was surprised he didn't play last week, but I think he can pop back in. I'm not sure. I'm certainly going to favor Kelce. Kelce will be just a great play in general. You know, how much salary left. So to play Kelce means you got to really find some other places to save. That is a luxury tight end for sure. I think with Kelce in there, we might have to go cheaper on the defense at the very least, right? Kittle, not much interest there. Waller, just all right. Evan Ingram, sure, with Trevor Lawrence. Evan Ingram's going to have a hard time finding that volume. 5 of 5, put you at 10 last week. Better spot here, good matchup. So he's in the mix for me, for sure. Got Cole Kmet in the mix at 4,400, I suppose. But let's see if we can find somebody a little bit less expensive. And here we go. Now, Sam Laporta was really interesting. Five targets. Looked good out there. Looked like a wide receiver. I'm interested in Laporta. Noah Gray, if Kelce doesn't play, we can go right back to that. Didn't do a whole lot, but he got the five targets. Like, you know, okay. So if Kelce was out, I'd be interested in Noah Gray. It's too early in the week to plug something like that in there. Zach Ertz absolutely smashed. 10 targets. Didn't do much with the targets. The QB in Arizona is obviously not good, but the targets were there. Dalton Kincaid's pretty cheap. Isaiah Likely, if Andrews is out, I'd go right back to it. I don't care. Let's see. Tyler Conklin, Jets, no. Kincaid, maybe. 4 targets. Yeah, he was okay. I saw Knox out there for the Bills as well. So I think Kincaid's role will grow week to week. I think this is fine for 3,300. Chig Okonkwo, also fine. Here, oh, got a 0. Brutal. But did sort of have a couple of interesting deep ball opportunities. Who are we going to plug in here for tight end this week? Let's go high floor, low price. I'll go Dalton Kincaid at 3,300. We need to save a little salary here. I'll go Kincaid. I kind of want to go Laporta. Actually, we'll go Laporta because I do want a little bit of ping pong here with the Seattle Detroit game. I want exposure to that game in particular. So I'm going to force a little bit of Seattle Detroit exposure here. That leaves us to 5,500 left at the wide receiver position. One name that I absolutely adore from week one that I want to go right back to was Zay Flowers. Man, this kid looks like the real deal. 10 targets, 9 receptions. This is not a fluke. Zay Flowers is the top dog in that passing offense. I think even the return of Mark Andrews, if he comes back, doesn't matter too much. I'm going right back to Zay. Zay Flizzles. I'm coming up with a name for Zay. We'll get it. We'll get it right. Zay Flowers all day, right? So that leaves us with, if we play White in the flex, which I don't know, that left us with 5,500 or 6K or 5,750 average. So let's see what the last couple spots can bring here. And going back to the wide receiver position, I want to kind of look through from the top and work our way down. So right at the very top, you know, Stephon Diggs, sure, why not? Chase, pair him up in that game specifically. Amon-Ra, also a game-specific play, but I'm down. 7,800, though. Going to be tough to afford any more studs in this type of a build. CeeDee Lamb, no. Adams, yes. Wilson, no. Now, what I'm saying yes or no is some of these players won't even make my player pool. Like, I'm out. I'm out on Wilson. DK Metcalf is really interesting here. Again, a little more of that other game that looks exciting. So I'm definitely interested in him. DeAndre Hopkins. I'm trying to see if we have a injury situation that we could take advantage of here. Yeah, Higgins was terrible. I feel like I've warned everybody about Higgins that he's just not very good. And, you know, eventually people figure it out. Michael Pittman looked great. 11 targets. Yeah. Michael Pittman. Very much in play this week. I did not think that would be the case with Richardson, but he's very much in play. Here's Tyler Lockett, price down. I'm kind of interested here. It didn't look like Metcalf was the clear alpha, but last year, Metcalf and Lockett had the same production. So, you know, I'm not counting out Lockett just yet on the season. Brandon Ayuk down here at 5,800 is certainly playable. He got the volume last week, 8 targets. Absolutely smashed with the volume that he got. He was the clear number one wide receiver, and I don't think that's going to change for his team. So that's a good situation. Mike Williams was in the tent for a little bit, but is healthy, and he's in play as well. DJ Moore down here at 5,500. I'm interested as well. So a lot of good spots here. Now, you might say, hey, why not Christian Kirk? And the reason is, you know, he was not on the field very much at all. He's playing the slot, and he just didn't get on the field very much for Jacksonville, and it appears that Zay Jones is the WR2, and I can get him for a lot cheaper. Hodgins, only 3 targets. The whole Giants offense was a mess. I'm not sure I want to go to that. Puka. Nakua. 15. This is my guy. Zay Flowers, Puka. Geek, why are you chasing last week's stuff? Because that works. Now, the only negative for me with Puka is they're up against San Francisco, and that's a tough defense to play against in general. So, but beyond that, I am very excited for Puka right now. Let's just keep going down the wide receiver list, but I'm very excited for Puka. Dubs as well. Sure, why not? Zay Jones would be a really interesting pairing with our quarterback. 7 targets, and this is what I'm saying. He had a nice little target output, so we could go down to Zay Jones and kind of double stack with Lawrence if we want. I don't mind that. 6,800 left. Get a little studly with our last spot potentially, although I don't like who's available here actually at that price point. So let's see if we can go a little bit lower. Dubs is interesting. Valdez-Scantling is certainly in play as well and would make for a really interesting bring back against our lineup here, but that's kind of, you know, very GPP only, let's call it. The volume isn't secure. Yeah, that's about it for me in terms of how deep I want to punt. I'm not trying to go all the way down to some of those rookies and anticipate injuries or any of that. So let's go back to it. And who are we going to plug in here for our next wide receiver? I was kind of liking Brandon Ayuk. It feels very chasey though. Not trying to be super chasey. Let's see what happens if I put in Ayuk. We're at 5,700 left. Pacheco, Mike Williams, Cam Akers, no. Pierre Samuel, Javonte Williams, Algier. I don't like most of these guys. Rashad White in play and DJ Moore in play down here in a much better matchup. So let's see if I go a little bit cheaper and go with like a Puka. Puka seemed to be playing the Cooper Kupp role for that team. That'd get us to Michael Pittman. You know what? YOLO it. Let's go. DJ Moore and Brandon Ayuk to close this one out. Why am I going back to DJ Moore? I still believe. Still believe he's going to be the WR1 for his team at 5,500. It was a tough matchup week one. I think they'll be better. And Brandon Ayuk absolutely smashed. But, you know, this last spot, I think, is really up in the air. These three spots really can be changed around. And we have the ability to jump off Cowboys defense here. So I think it's a pretty good baseline. I think we go right down to, for example, Zay Jones and just kind of get that double stack going and kind of build a little different. If we did something like that, I think we could probably even potentially try to squeeze a Kelsey in there. And then, of course, we'd have to get something figured out with a really cheap flex play. But this would be a really interesting one, too, where you have Lawrence, Ridley, Jones, Kelsey, and then punt the last spot. So that's going to do it for our NFL. Let's go back to the official one, though, just so we put that one in and see how we do. But we're going to go Ayuk, Laporta. And then, you know, you pick the last spot, right? Pacheco is fine. Williams is fine. Rashad White is fine. All of these spots are pretty, pretty acceptable to me. Rashad White is okay. So I think all of these spots are pretty acceptable. I'm going to put in White and put the lineup in. All right, guys, that's going to do it for the NFL Week 2 DraftKings First Look lineup. Remember, smash that subscribe button. Who are your top plays? Who are you playing at the QB position this week? Who are you locked in at? Do you agree that A.J. Dillon should be a lock button running back? Let me know in the comments, and I'll see you later in the week as we come back with all our breakdowns. Take care, everybody.